Did I say that out loud?
All right, here we go. 87% of pastors have been betrayed, falsely accused or hurt by their friends. 70% of pastors battle depression. 7,000 churches close each year. 1,500 pastors quit each month. 10% will retire a pastor. Eighty percent of pastors feel discouraged. 94% of pastors' families feel the pressure of ministry. 78% of pastors have no close friends. 90% of pastors report working 55 to 75 hours per week. Those are tough statistics. That doesn't apply to Pastor Joe because he's our perfect pastor. Let me read some things that apply to Pastor Joe. He preaches exactly 20 minutes and then sits down. He condemns sin but never hurts anyone's feelings. He works from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. in every type of work, from preaching to custodial service. He gives $60 a week to the church. He also stands ready to contribute to every good work that comes along. He is 26 years old and has been preaching for 30 years. He is tall and short, thin, heavy set, and handsome. He has one brown eye and one blue. His hair is parted down the middle, left side dark and straight, the right brown and wavy. He has a burning desire to work with teenagers and spends all his time with older folks. He smiles all the time with a straight face because he has a sense of humor that keeps him seriously dedicated to his work. He makes 15 calls a day on church members and spends all his time evangelizing the unchurched, and he is never out of his office. Obvious, I was being ridiculous. But beloved, it's ridiculous sometimes the expectations that the flock put on pastors. They are expectations that I think no human being can hold up to. God has done an amazing thing in this church. Jeremy alluded to it. Our first pastor was Pastor Bill Tweedell. He was here for 10 years. And Pastor Bill brought along his side Pastor Sam Bear. They both served for, I don't know how long Sam was here, but Pastor Bill served for 10 years. After that, the church called Darrell Lynch to pastor, and he was here for 4 years. I was called to be pastor in 1984. I was pastoring or planting a church up in Lakeland. And by the way, before I need to state that I was saved in this church in 1974, if you didn't know that. And I was part of this church for a long time. And I went to college from this church. I went to Clearwater College. I went on to seminary. And Pastor Bill was had an incredible input in my life. He was my discipler. But my wife and I were married here. All three of my children were baptized here. We have a great history with this church. But I was called to be your pastor in 1984. Pastor Joe was called to be youth pastor in 1992. I'll never forget when I asked him if he'd be interested. I was standing beside him in the men's restroom. That's not a good vision. But I remember asking him, so Joe, would you be interested in being in the youth pastor? And he goes, yeah, I think so. And that started this incredible ministry. Pastor Joe has served in this church as youth pastor and worship leader for 27 years. Amen. for 27 years, he and I have served together for 27 years. I don't know many churches that have that kind of thing going on. I really don't. When Pastor Joe, he got ordained and then he became ordained in the Grace Brethren Fellowship. And I remember all the mornings we spent together and all the times that we talked, and I could see very clearly that God's hand was all over Pastor Joe. And we talked later on in our ministry that I would really like to see him become pastor of this church. And by God's grace, some months ago, I forget exactly what months, but on a Wednesday night, you all voted overwhelmingly to call Pastor Joe as the next pastor of this church. I say all that to remind you of what God has done in this church. During our ministry, we have seen 16 people go into full-time ministry. Now, some of those have gone and come back, but that's incredible, right? That's a wonderful, wonderful thing that God has done. And we have one who is in the tube getting ready to go off to seminary, and we'll see what God does in his life, and his and her life, I should say. And that's just so exciting. It's just so exciting. After today, Pastor Joe will be your lead pastor. And it's a historical thing that God has done. All those statistics that I read to you. I mean, he has been here 27 years, and I'm thinking another 10 years, or 11, or however long he's going to make it. He will be here a lot longer than I've been here. I'm not sure I'll be alive when he quits, but we'll see. I promise Pastor Joe and Lynn that I will be your prayer warrior. I will keep you before the Lord daily. I promise. All right. Let's look to the Word for a while. If you're in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1, starting verses 1 up through verse 8, I think. Verse 7. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season. Wait, let's stand for the reading of God's word. I forgot. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and thanking you for this text. And as always, Father, I pray that we would not hear from me, but from you. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit. We pray, Father, that we teach to transform and encourage Christ followers. We ask, Father, that all that is said would glorify you. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. I've always loved 2 Timothy because it was the Apostle Paul's last letter. He's in a dark dungeon in the city of Rome. He's being threatened of martyrdom every day. And he sends for Timothy, and in so sending for Timothy, he writes this incredible charge, this commission to Timothy. it's Paul's charge to Timothy as a young pastor. We think at this time he's in his late 20s, maybe early 30s, and he's pastoring the church at Ephesus. I found that remarkable and exciting. But Timothy is pastoring the church in Ephesus. Paul knows that martyrdom is near. And as Jeremy has already said, this is in a sense of passing the mantle of ministry to this young pastor, passing the torch of ministry to this young pastor. Paul loved Timothy. Paul loved Timothy with a great passion. He was his son in the faith. He had Timothy on at least two missionary trips, and he poured his life into Timothy. Timothy had some struggles when you read through his 1st and 2nd Timothy, as all people would have struggles, and Paul sought to encourage him. He told him at times in 2 Timothy, he told him to be faithful in his duties. He told him to hold on to sound doctrine, to avoid error. And then he told young Timothy, he said, accept persecution for the gospel's sake. And then in this text, he tells him to put his confidence in Scripture and to preach it relentlessly. What we have here in these 7 verses is kind of like a summary of Paul's charge. I have 3 things here. You don't have an outline. I'm not sure why you don't have an outline. You've always had an outline, so I'm not sure why. But anyway, all right. Being a pastor and preaching the Word of God is I just want to tell you, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like what I'm doing right now. The dynamic of preaching. The dynamic of spending hours and hours of studying and looking at the original language and praying and asking God to make the message relevant. And the dynamic of the Holy Spirit filling you and using your studies and realizing that that's such a dynamic that only preachers of the Word of God get to experience. We have young men who have preached in our church, and they know exactly what I'm talking about. That dynamic is just incredible. And I can't tell you the joy of preaching the Word of God. And yet it's most serious. Most serious. Look at verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Very serious stuff. Amen. Those who are called to proclaim and interpret the Word of God have the most profound responsibility that the Lord places on any man. The most profound accountability, profound responsibility that God places on any man when he preaches the Word of God. Pastor Joe and I have gone to the Shepherd's Conference out in California under the ministry of Pastor Dr. John MacArthur. And I'll never forget the first one I went to, and I don't know how many pastors were there, 5,000 somewhere in there, and he comes to the pulpit, and the place is just quiet. And he says, you men are the most important men on the planet. Remember that, Pastor Joe? I was so taken back by that. And we're the most important preachers and pastors who preach and believe the Word of God. They're the most important men on the planet. Why? Because thus saith the Lord. And they preach the Word. And yet, the accountability is awesome. I've seen Pastor Joe struggle with that as he prepares messages. And I hug him and he says, hey, I just want to make sure this is right. And I've got it right before God. Listen to what James 3 says. Now many of you should become... No, wait. It doesn't say now. It says not. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we teach, that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. One more time. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. I found some quotes about preaching the word. Spurgeon, who our elder Dan loves. Spurgeon, in his book, Lecture to His Students. If you ever come across that book, you ought to get it. It's an old book, but it's an incredible book. Spurgeon was a prince of preachers, but one of the things that impressed me about him, well, it didn't impress me. He would get so depressed. Spurgeon would get so depressed that he would stay in his bed for weeks. For weeks. Why? The cost of preaching the Word of God. Anyway, he says this: do not enter the ministry if you can help it. Don't do it. I love Howard Hendricks. He's now with the Lord, but he was a famous teacher down in Texas, Dallas Theological Seminary. He says, if you can do anything else, then do it. Chuck Swindoll was asked, he says, can you be happy doing anything else? He said, no. I found this quote from Swindoll also about this very first verse. Listen carefully to it. Paul could not have more forcefully called Timothy to attention, saying, as it were, Timothy, you will eventually stand before this one to give an account for your work. Pastor Joe, Pastor Randy, all those who are preaching the Word of God, we will one stand before him and give accountability. He goes on to say, he will judge your motives. He will assess your public ministry. He will evaluate your private life and sift through the secrets of your soul. Ouch. Therefore, Timothy, heed the counsel that I am about to give. Strong words, right? So number one, it's the magnitude of the calling of the pastor. Tremendous magnitude. And then two, verses 2 through 4, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. It's the priority of preaching that Pastor Joe has. I love this verse found over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is writing, he says, and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Listen. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Who wrote that? The Apostle Paul. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen and amen. You got to write that down. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The pastor has a lot of other duties. He has a lot of other duties that he does as pastoring of the church. But, beloved, nothing is more important than preaching the word. Out of preaching the word and the culmination, a lot of Sundays of preaching, flow discipleship. I believe discipleship's got to be on one-on-one or in a group, but I also believe that faithfulness to the preaching of the Word of God Sunday morning after Sunday morning will disciple you. I believe that with all my heart. It's the power of the Word of God that transforms lives. But out of it flows discipleship and evangelism. That's Pastor Joe's priority. He must have the time to study. He must have the time to study and to be prepared to stand in this pulpit to preach the Word. He's to be God's herald. His appearing, the first three words, preach the Word. The word for preach there is caruso and has the idea of being a herald. There was a time when the king would edit some kind of command, and there would be these heralds, these preachers, these carusos, that would go into villages and speak publicly the commands of the king. And that's what the preacher is to do when he preaches. He is God's herald. He preaches what the Word of God says. Nothing else, and I know this to be true, nothing else should come from this pulpit. Amen? Nothing else should ever come from this pulpit but the preaching of the Word of God. Nothing else. This church is almost 50 years old. I think it got its start in 70, somewhere in there. And this pulpit, people, the men who have stood behind this pulpit have always preached the Word of God. And I believe it will continue with the elders and the pastor that you have. It says in season and out of season, regardless of the culture, regardless of what's going on outside in society, the Word of God is to be preached. Regardless of the circumstances in the man's life that is preaching the Word of God. Beloved, there are times when I, in my heart, crawled up to this pulpit because of some of the things that were taking place in my life, in my soul. I crawled into this pulpit. And I know Pastor Joe knows what that's like. So, the priority of preaching is to be God's herald. Next is to preach for life change, transformation, not just information. Elder Dan has been repeating that for I don't know how long. And we finally got it. What are we doing? We're preaching the Word of God to transform your lives. It's just not a bunch of information. You're to take what is being preached from this pulpit. You're to take it with you. You're to apply it to your heart. And you're to be different men and women and young people because you've sat under the ministry of the preaching of the Word of God. We preach for life change. Look what he says. Be ready in season and out of season. He says, reproof, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. The Word of God, when it's preached, it's God's word on sin, reproving. It's to correct and encourage. And I love what he says at the end there. He says, with complete patience and teaching. That word for patience means long suffering. Long suffering. It means to have a sense of self-restraint. There were times, and I probably, I'm sorry if I've done this. There are times when the pastor gets on soapboxes and he preaches what he thinks is needed instead of what God thinks. And when pastors do that, they turn out to be sermonettes, perhaps. Or they beat the sheep up. And beloved, if I've ever done that, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So it's a priority of preaching. It's to be God's herald. We preach for life change. Then in verses 3 and 4, you see the urgency of the preaching of God's word. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Beloved, that time's now. Many say, well, that's going to happen in the end times of the Antichrist. So no, I disagree. It's happening right now. People have become consumers of churches. They go from one church to another church. If their needs aren't being met, if the pastor's not doing a great, positive, feel-good sermon, then they're going to find another pastor who will do a feel-good, positive sermon. No longer do they want to hear, thus saith the Lord. They want to have their ears itched. So many times, and this isn't true of our church, people go to church to see how soon they can get out of church. I've always been amazed at that. Stay home. If that's why you come to church. And I'm not suggesting you do that. So you have the magnitude of the calling of the preacher of the Word of God, then you have the priority of preaching. Nothing else is more important. When Pastor Joe preaches, he is God's herald. He will preach for life change, and then he will preach with such an urgency. Now, verse 5, Paul talks about the character of the one preaching or the pastor. He says, as for you always, be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of evangelists, and fulfill your ministry. There's four things here. I got to be quick. But that word for sober-minded, it means to be balanced, self-controlled. It means to have a self-restraint. I think it has the idea to be established. Never wavering. No compromise. No compromise with the culture. Thus saith the Lord God, not culture. There's no compromise with liberalism that is flooding our churches, who are giving in to sin. A week or so ago, Pastor Joe talked about the danger the idea was hate speech. There are pastors in foreign countries that are being taken to court and perhaps even thrown in jail for when they preach from the Word of God about what it says about homosexuality. Can that happen in our country? Yeah. Some of the congressmen in California have been trying to do that for a couple of years. Be established. You don't preach relativism. God's truth relates, but it's also absolute. Amen? No, amen? God's truth is absolute. It's not a matter of what you think about the Word of God. That's not it. So many times that's what happens. Well, I think God's saying, no. It's not what you think God is saying. Look at the text and see what God is saying. Right? Right? Thank you. Come on, this is last Sunday. So be established. And then he goes on to say, endure suffering. Be willing to suffer. And, beloved, I know of no other family in our church who, and don't take this wrong, who have suffered like the Sowers family over recent years. Now, I don't want to bring up bad memories, but they endured the suffering of the loss of baby Timothy. I can't imagine. My heart breaks when one of my daughters have a toothache. or they're going through some kind of struggle. My heart breaks for them, and I fall on my knees and pray for them. I can't imagine the suffering of watching their children go through what they have gone through. It's one thing to suffer, but it's another thing to suffer for the cause of your kids. They endured that. And then they went through the suffering and they endured the suffering of almost losing Sarah. And her baby Ursa. I mean, God has prepared Pastor Joe and Lynn for ministry. They know suffering. And it's not pleasant. It's hard. And it's tough. And many of you know that. But if you're going to be a pastor, if you're going to be a preacher of the Word of God, you have to be willing to endure suffering. I mean, the man who wrote this text was in prison. He's been beat up. He's being threatened to have his head cut off every day. And yet he writes this incredible letter, two letters to Timothy. Beloved, pastors will suffer unfair criticism. They will suffer unfair criticism. They will suffer rejection. They will suffer betrayal. They will suffer loneliness, weariness to the point of exhaustion. They will suffer frustration. They will suffer disappointment. And beloved, at times, depression. Every Monday they will want to quit. But something inside of them just says, no, that's silly. And I know that's not very encouraging. But 40 years of ministry, I know what that's... I'm sorry. That's the suffering of a pastor. For some reason, people think that they have the right to say whatever they want to the pastor. And I've never understood that. Deep, hurtful things. Things that really deep and hurt you. And sometimes people put these incredible expectations on our children. Expect them to live on a higher standard. It's tough duty to be a pastor. Listen to me. Please, if you're going to talk to Pastor Joe, encourage him. Seek to lift him up. He's open to constructive criticism, like we all should be, amen? We should all be open to constructive criticism, as long as it's done with humility and love. But you start this ministry off with a covenant between you and God that when you sit down and talk to Pastor Joe, you know, one of the reasons you're talking to him there is to lift him up and to encourage him. Not to kill him with your words. Not to stab him. All right, enough. Be willing to suffer. Next is be passionate for the gospel. Notice what he says. Do the work of an evangelist. The pastor is to have a passion for the gospel. Now be very careful here. The pastor has not been called to the office of an evangelist. Everybody understand what I'm saying with that? I mean, the pastor has not been called to be the evangelist of the church. He's not. And so many times there is this thing that says, well, I've hired Pastor Joe. He's getting paid. And, you know, he's responsible for seeing people come to Christ. Well, you are responsible for seeing people come to Christ. I am responsible for seeing people come to Christ. We are all responsible to have a passion for evangelism. So don't think that Pastor Joe is the evangelist. He's the pastor with the priority of preaching and teaching the Word of God and all the other duties that come with all of that. Every Christ follower is to live and declare the gospel to whoever will listen. One more park story. Can I give one more park story? His name is Jeff. And he has, I don't know, 10 black belts. It's probably an exaggeration. And he knows all kinds of stuff that he does with his hands. He says he can kill somebody with his hands. And I kind of backed off. I said, yeah, that's nice. But he's very intellectual, I should say. And he studies a lot and he reads a lot. And we were standing beside each other the other day catching snook. I caught a snook 10 foot, man. It was thick. I lied. But it was 3 foot. It was 2 foot. But it was a great snook catch. Anyway, we're standing beside each other and we're just kind of talking, and he starts talking to me about all these religions that he studied, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, oh, Lord, what do I do with this guy, with this dude? What? And I looked at him. I said, hey, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? He came and proclaimed himself to be God. Not only that, but he lived his perfect life. Perfect life, never sinned. And then, Jeff, he goes to a cross and shed his blood for your sins. And, oh yeah, I forgot. 3 days later, he came out of the grave. Jeff. And he's reeling it in. I said, Jeff, what are you going to do with Jesus? And he never replied. Every time you get in a debate about religion, draw it to the person of Jesus Christ. Don't get into all those debates. Jesus is the center of Christianity. And then the last thing he says, fulfill your ministry. Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And the point with all of that is to be a servant always. Fulfill your ministry. The word for ministry is diakonos, which means servant. And beloved, pastors of all things are to understand. Now listen, we pastors are to understand that I am God's servant. Listen, to God's people. Amen? I mean, that's what pastors are supposed to be. We're shepherds, Ephesians 4:11 says. We're pastor teachers. And the word there for pastor has the idea of shepherd. We are shepherd of sheep. And if I had time, I would talk about sheep, but I don't have time. Okay. And then, as I close, listen, don't call Pastor Joe minister. Don't call him the minister of the church. And the reason for that is because Ephesians 4:11 and 12, it says so clearly that God has given certain gifts to the church, one of that being the shepherd teacher, to equip, now listen, to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. You're all ministers. And he's not the minister of the church. You are all ministers. When people call me, and you guys never call me a minister, that's fine, me. I don't want to be called. But anyway, somebody calls me a minister, I said, I'm not sure that's the right title. I don't like being called minister because all believers are ministers. The calling of Pastor Joe, the calling of a pastor. Remember the magnitude of his calling. The priority of preaching, to be God's herald, to preach for life change. Understand the urgency that we're to preach the Word of God. People are walking away from that. There's a certain character that's needed of the man who fulfills his pulpit. He's to be sober-minded. He's to be established. He must be willing to suffer because he will. He must be passionate for the gospel, not only to live the gospel through his life, but to give the gospel out to whoever will listen to him. And then to be servant always. All right, this time we want to call Pastor Joe and Lynn up front. Dan?